నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
సో ఆన్ బిహాఫ్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా గోపీనాథ్ మందిర్, ది ఇంటర్నేషనల్ సొసైటీ ఫర్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్, వి వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ డివోటీస్ దోస్ హూ హావ్ అసెంబ్ల్డ్ హియర్ ఫర్ దిస్ సండే ఫీస్ట్ ప్రోగ్రామ్. సో ఇన్ అవర్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ when we start practicing Krishna consciousness, and especially when you come before the deities, there are so many feelings, so many emotions, so many sentiments which a devotee always likes to express, or a devotee always expresses when he is standing before the Lord. And the thoughts, that emotions, those feelings that comes out from a devotee's heart, it's not just some routine practice or it's a mechanical process. It's not like that. It is spontaneous, directly coming from the heart. As soon as you stand before the deities and see the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishakha, Gaur Nitai, Gopalji standing there, and depending upon the state of your mind, state of consciousness, that particular prayers, emotions are expressed. They start overflowing from the heart. This is every devotee's experience. Every devotee knows it. Whatever level he may be from, he may be a neophyte or he may be an advanced devotee. Every devotee experiences this. But many times or sometimes the question may come, or the question may come in our heart and mind that yes, I have these emotions, these feelings, these sentiments for the Lord. But what is the Lord's feelings? What is the Lord's emotions? What does the Lord feel about me? Or what to speak about me in general, what does the Lord have in his heart for his devotees? This question always comes in the heart of devotees. Because ultimately, the basic need of every living entity is to love someone, and more than to love someone is to be loved by someone, right? So we may love Krishna, but because we are not seeing Krishna directly, there is no reciprocation, direct reciprocation. For example, if you are speaking to some of your friend and you say, tell your friend that I like you very much, the friend will immediately, depending upon your relationship, will reciprocate. Yes, I also like you too much, or he may say, I hate you too much. Right? But the deity, if you are standing before the deity and just saying, Krishna, I love you, you are my life and soul. But as Krishna also says, yes, my dear devotee, I also love you, you are also my life and soul. Never. Directly Krishna never comes and speaks to us. Within the heart is revealing that knowledge. But we have never experienced, at least at a neophyte level, as a sadhaka level, when we are beginning this process of Krishna consciousness. So this thought always comes, that what does the Lord have in his heart for his devotees? Does the Lord really loves me? Does the Lord really cares for his devotees? Does the Lord always thinks about his devotees? What does the Lord has? So in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very beautiful description in chapter 4th, where detailed description, verses after verses, Krishna or Lord Vishnu is speaking what feelings he has for his devotees. And that will be subject matter. Krishna's concern or Krishna's love for his devotees, and what are those concerns and how does he express his love, that we'll see today. And before that, to narrate this pastime, to begin with, in the 9th canto, 4th chapter, there is one chapter is entitled Ambarish Maharaj Offended by Durvas Muni. So there was a great king called as Ambarish Maharaj. And how great was he? He was so great materially, not just as a devotee, because Many times we see devotees and we call them, this devotee is very great. But outside people, only devotees appreciate that this devotee is great. But a materialistic people, from their materialistic point of view, they don't consider a devotee to be too great. Because externally, that devotee does not look too great from material point of view. But here is Ambarish Maharaj. He is not only a great devotee of the Lord, but is a great person even in his material life. And how great is he? He was practically the king of the entire world. He was owning all the seven islands, the Saptadvipas, the seven continents, which we call today. Everything he owned. He had unlimited opulence, prosperity on the earth, which is so rare. In today's day and time, if you can have a small room or small flat somewhere, we think we have achieved everything. But here is a person who has everything what a person desires in his life. Maharaj Ambarish. But, as we said, he is not just a materialistic, just a karmi. He is a great devotee. And what is the quality of a great devotee? A quality of a great devotee is that in spite of having everything what is desired by an outside person or a materialistic person, he was not at all attached to any of the opulences which he possessed. So does it mean that not attached means he was transcendental, you know, not caring for? No. He was ruling the world. He was with his family. He was with his wife. He was with his children. He was with his subjects. But at the same time, he was completely detached. Not at all being concerned. Concerned in the sense, the concern of attachment. That yes, I am the king. This country is mine. I am the boss of this world. This entire creation belongs to me. I am the king of the entire planet Earth. And why does a devotee have this feeling? Why does a devotee, as he goes on advancing in his Krishna consciousness, his detachment goes on also increasing simultaneously? Or his attachment for material things goes on reducing? Why does this happen? Because as a devotee, as a sadhaka, when he progresses in Krishna consciousness, he realizes that all these things, all these material assets which I possess, if I don't become detached from it, even though I may have it, I may possess it, but if I don't develop that quality of detachment, what is going to result? The result is I will be bound into this material existence. Attachment is a cause of bondage. And devotee realizes this perfectly. Or his understanding of this statement that attachment, my attachment is going to increase my bondage to this material world. And as long as I'm bond to this material world, the sufferings of this material world are going to exist for me. And therefore, gradually he goes on developing that sense of quality of detachment. Even though being with the things, being with the assets, but at the same time being unattached to it. That was the quality of Ambarish Maharaj. A person who had complete control over his senses. Normally we see when a person has everything, especially material assets, he tends to utilize all his assets just for one purpose. Just to gratify senses to the maximum, to the fullest of extent. But Ambarish Maharaj was also gratifying his senses, but not by material things. Not bombarding his senses with material sense objects. His sense gratification is very unique and a lesson for every devotee. Any devotee, any sadhaka who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, here is Ambarish Maharaj. He can see, he can learn from Ambarish Maharaj that how he can completely, without any scope for fall down, can completely engage all his senses in devotional service to Krishna. The perfect example is Ambarish Maharaj. No one can beat him in this regard. And this comes because of detachment. Because as soon as detachment from material things grows, simultaneously our attachment to Krishna goes on increasing. That has to happen. Because if you become detached from material things, and if you are not attached to spiritual things, if you are not attached to Krishna, as it happens in the intermediate stage of Krishna consciousness, when we begin, we are told, don't do this, don't do that. We do it. We say no to so many things. So many objects of enjoyment, so many sources of enjoyment that are easily available to us, that are meant for our enjoyment, we say, no, I don't want to enjoy. Initially, everything is mechanical, everything is artificial. But at the same time, we do it, we work hard to say no to our mind, to our senses. But at the same time, because we are not attached to Krishna, because we have not developed that taste for Krishna, we sometimes tend to be hanging in between. But devotee should not be afraid of this. It is a sign of progress. It is only a matter of time that Krishna is going to take you. Krishna is going to give you that attachment. He is going to hook you up. And when that Krishna hooks you, then all this material sense objects becomes useless. And therefore, even Kunti Maharani also, Kunti Maharani in his first canto, she is praying, Janma Ishwarya Shruti Shribir, Yeda Madha Madhapuman, that my dear Krishna, who can understand you? A person who can understand you, who can know you, is only he who has completely become detached. He has become akinchana gochara. He has become completely detached. He has become a beggar. He is not thinking. He is not hankering for material sense objects. Only those persons are fit to understand you. Only those persons can know you. That is Kunti Maharani's prayer. And Ambarish Maharaj was not just a great devotee of the Lord. It is very easy to be call Krishna, Krishna, I am your devotee. To the extent he was a devotee of the Lord, to that extent, or in fact more than that, he was the devotee of the devotees of the Lord. He was always eager. To the extent he was eager to serve Krishna, to that extent he was eager to serve the devotees of the Lord. And because of this quality of ready to be eager to serve the devotees, he had his senses completely under his control. And how was he engaging his senses? Beautiful verses comes. I'll just read the translation. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged in his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. So first, mind is engaged in the meditation of lotus feet of Krishna. His words describing the glories of the Lord. His hands in cleansing the Lord's temple. His ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temples and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engaged his senses of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of Tulsi offered to the Lord. And he engaged his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasad. He engaged his legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord, his head in bowing down before the Lord, and all his desires in serving the Lord, 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to Krishna. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from material desires. Everything, these three verses, includes everything. Nobody can say that one part of my senses are being engaged and other part is running away. Other senses are running away behind sense objects. No. A devotee who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, if you can just follow in the footsteps or follow these principles which Ambarish Maharaj is doing, one can gradually advance and become completely detached. And it is not that because he was completely engaged in Krishna service, he was detached. Or he was detached from his material occupation also. No. In the sense of detachment, he was as expert as he was managing his spiritual affairs, spiritual life. To that expertise, He was managing his material life also, taking care of all his citizens, guiding the citizens in whatever way they wanted, and also taking advice from all the devotees of the Lord, the Brahmanas who are the devotees of the Lord. So he used to give advice, he used to take care of them, and whenever required, he used to take advice also from the Lord. It's not that I am a great devotee, I am a king, it's only that my order should prevail. He was also receptive to the words of his devotees. One of the essential qualifications to advance in Krishna consciousness. Always receptive to the instructions, to the guidance of devotees. Because many times we may not be in a position to make our own decisions. Many times we may not be in a position to guide ourselves. But devotees, those who are constantly visualizing us, constantly monitoring us, they may help us to keep us and our devotional life on proper track. And in this way, he was ruling the entire planet without difficulty. He used to perform big yajnas and invite great sages like Gautam Rishi, Vasishtha Muni. And when they used to come, he used to give as much as they wanted in Dakshina, whatever they desired for, whatever they asked for. It's not that just running behind, oh, I have to pay so much Dakshina, thinking, and oh, what will happen to me? As much as the sages wanted it. Completely open to whatever the sages. So therefore, even the blessings of all the sages was up to him, not only the blessings of the Lord. Even the general people of the citizens of his country, they were completely surrendered to Ambarish Maharaj. And how they were expressing their surrender? Because they were seeing that our king is such a great devotee, such a great king, both spiritually and materially, they wanted to follow him as it is. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharati shrestas, tat tat eve taro jana. Whatever great people do, common men follow. And since Ambarish Maharaj was setting up an ideal example for devotee in material and spiritual aspects, the devotee, the citizens of his state, of his country, were also eager to follow him exactly. They were also engaged in all the aspects of devotional service to the same level as Ambarish Maharaj was. And Prabhupada writes very beautiful in the purport that this is how a state or a country can have peace. When the king is a devotee and when the ministers or the people, the citizens, those who are ruling the government, they are also devotees. And unless until the king sets up an ideal, common people are not going to follow him. Because if the king himself is a bogus fellow, how can you expect the citizens to be honest? It's not at all possible. Because they are seeing that he is looting us, he is cheating us, then why should we be honest? Why should we be looted by him? So we also loot the king and let us loot each other. That is the state of today. Everyone working for his own sense gratification, looting each other, accumulating for his own sense gratification. And along with Ambarish Maharaj, all the devotees were also serving him, serving the Lord, and engaging in each and every aspect of devotional service. And why were they doing it? Because they understood, they had that realization, the benefit of devotional service is to have that realization that ultimately, whatever we may achieve, if we cannot achieve devotional service to Krishna, everything is useless. And nothing of this material world can give us transcendental happiness. Or the happiness which one derives from engaging in Krishna consciousness or engaging in devotional service to Krishna, that cannot be compared to any of the happiness of this material world. And therefore, the devotees, the citizens of Ambarish Maharaj's country or his kingdom, they were completely detached like him. They were not even endeavoring for any of the material assets to the extent that they didn't want to even go to heavenly planets to get position in the higher planetary systems which the demigods hanker for. To make it clear, the level, the consciousness of the citizens of Ambarish Maharaj's kingdom was such great that it was greater than even the consciousness of demigods. Why? Because of the king. The king was so great, similarly the citizens also become great as the king. And in this way, Ambarish Maharaj was ruling his kingdom. And one day, for the welfare of the entire kingdom, he and his wife decided to perform Ekadashi and Dwadashi Vrat for 1 year. Only for the welfare and to please Krishna. Because following Ekadashi, fasting on Ekadashi is one of the, it's called Mother of Devotion. Madhavati iti bhakti janani jatane palanakuri. Mother of Devotion is Ekadashi. So any devotee, Prabhupada writes in the purport, he wants to advance, they should strictly follow Ekadashi. Ekadashi Vrat and Dwadashi Vrat. So Ambarish Maharaj and his wife, who was also as good devotee as him, they were following the Ekadashi Vrat. They took a vow. And they did it for 1 year. For 1 year, they fasted for Ekadashi and for having these Dwadashi vows. And when 1 year got over, all the devotees, all the citizens, all the great sages, they assembled. Why? Because as all of us know, whenever after Ekadashi is over, the next day we are waiting for is the Dwadashi day. For what? For the Paran timing. To break the fast. And it is said, if you don't break that fast within that Paran timing, you don't get the credit of performing that Ekadashi Vrat. So devotees are always very careful to note down each and every minute. 10:45 to 11:09 a.m. They are just waiting when this time will come. So because it is essential, it is not just that we are hungry, waiting for watch, oh, when will that auspicious moment come when I will eat. No, because they want to get the result of their austerity which they are performing. So both of them were doing it, and they are arranged on the day of Dwadashi, they arranged a big feast, invited each and every person. Each and every citizen gave them as much gifts as they wanted. To the Brahmanas, it is said, Bhagavatam describes, that he was giving 60 lakhs cows. The cows whose horns were having gold plates, their hoofs were having silver plates. Imagine, not just cows which are of useless cows, which are of no use. They are not giving any milk, they are not able to produce any calves, so just give it. And not only just calves, they were given along with the calves and many other things, wealth, whatever they wanted. And they were feasting. And he was serving them so that after everybody is over, he can break his fast. And as he was doing it, meanwhile, comes an unwanted guest or uninvited guest. This guest was not invited. And who is he? Durvasa Muni. So as soon as, even though he was uninvited, because Ambarish Maharaj is a devotee, and devotee means respecting everyone. And Durvasa Muni, he was not just ordinary person. He was a great sage, great mystic, great yogi, having so many mystic potencies. Person could travel anywhere in the whole creation. Ambarish Maharaj automatically felt that, yes, I should welcome him, I should respect him. He immediately got down, gave him a nice seat to sit, offered him aarti, and he sat down at his feet that, yes, my dear Ambarish, my dear Durvasa Muni, please you also join and have prasad with us. But Durvasa Muni said, no. First, let me perform my day's rituals. Let me take my bath in Yamuna, and then I'll come and join you for prasad. And Ambarish Maharaj was waiting. And he left. Durvasa Muni left for Yamuna because this whole ceremony was going on in Vrindavan, in Madhuban, where he had performed his vows, performed his austerity, and then the whole feast was going on. So Durvasa Muni went, but he was so busy in his meditation on the impersonal Brahman that he became, you know, transcendental to the time. He should have come on time because he knew that Ambarish Maharaj had performed this Ekadashi Vrat, and here is a Paran timing coming, he has to break his fast, and I being a guest, I cannot, or he cannot break his fast before serving the guest. He had to know this, but he was so busy in his meditation that he forgot. And here is Ambarish Maharaj, who has fasted for 1 year, just waiting, that now he is going to come, Now he should come and let me break my fast. And meanwhile, param timing was also going on. He was performing this austerity, this vrat, for the welfare of the entire country, entire world, not country, because he was king of the world, entire world, for all his citizens, and to please Krishna. And if that param timing goes away, then what is the use? So somewhere there was in dilemma. The time was running away. Durvasa Muni not to be seen. So what to do? Then he consulted his brahmanas. Then what to do? Brahma said, ideally, you should break fast, but he's also a guest. Then Ambarish Maharaj used his intelligence. He said, yes, I will opt to a measure or a way by which it will appear that I broke my fast, but at the same time, I have not broke my fast. And what was that? He thought of drinking little water. Because water, when you drink water, it is considered like breaking fast also and not breaking fast also. And ideally, like Bhakti... Who's that? Mayapur. One of our guru, sannyasi, Mayapur, from Mayapur. Gurukuli, teacher. Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj. He says, according to him, paran timing is only for those who are doing nirjal. Those are doing their Ekadashi Vrat nirjal, paran timing is only for them actually. Because others are they're eating, you know, in the name of Ekadashi, as Maharaj says, Ekadashi Duppad Khashi. The whole day they're eating only, more than that. So for them, what is paran timing? Even on the Dwadashi day also, they'll get up and eat everything, Ekadashi Prasad. And paran timing means what? Break the fast with some Dwadashi, you know, something with grains. So according to him, paran timing is only for nirjal, those who have not fasted even from water. So Ambarish Maharaj was doing it. And so for him, breaking fast was by drinking water. And he drank water, little bit water just to break the fast. And after some time, Durvasa Muni coming back to his external consciousness, he came. And because he was a mystic, he could understand that Ambarish Maharaj has eaten something. He has broken his fast. And he got so angry, furious, eyes becoming red, eyebrows frowning and face, you know, biting his teeth. Because already he was also hungry. Normally when we are hungry, we get easily irritated. And especially when you see that you are hungry and other is eating nice feast, you become more angry. Yeah? So you got more agitated. But how can you eat? How can you eat without me? I'm your guest, you have invited me. Even though he was not invited. I'm your invited guest, how can you eat? And he becomes very angry and he starts, well, I will punish you, I will show you. And he starts cursing Ambarish Maharaj. And how does he curse? He pulls off his hair and smashes on the ground. And from that comes out a fiery demon. A demon to attack Ambarish Maharaj. And that demon was so dangerous, so huge. With a trident in his hand, he was just jumping. And when he was walking and he was running towards Ambarish Maharaj, it was like the entire earth was moving. But Ambarish Maharaj was just expressing the mood of a devotee. And what was that? The quality of tolerance. Ambarish Maharaj didn't run away. Oh, the fiery demon is coming, let bhago. Aag lagi, bhago, 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 you know. Dongar lag lagli, pada, 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 jaise. Nothing like that. There was nothing. He was just standing there, meditating on the beautiful form of Krishna. And not even praying that, oh Krishna, please, this fiery demon is attacking me, please save me. Not even that. He was not even praying for his protection. He was just meditating on the Lord. Just like we see in 7th canto also. When Prahlad Maharaj was being attacked so many times, never ever he prayed to Krishna that, Krishna, please, you know, protect me. I am performing devotional service. I am trying to serve you. And this is the result of your service. Now it is your duty to save me, protect me. Never. Even though he was thrown from mountains, he was put in the pit of snakes. So many other things. He was put in the hot burning oil. Never ever he prayed for his protection. But Krishna always protects his devotees. Because that is a devotee. That is what Krishna feels for his devotees, which we'll see in future verses. What does the Lord has for his devotees? What feelings the Lord has for his devotees? And he was just standing there tolerating. Tolerating whatever comes. And that is why he becomes great. For any devotee, as Prabhupada writes, and which His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj also quotes many times, the greatness of a personality, of a person, is estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Now for Ambarish Maharaj, this was the most provoking situation. He had committed no offense. He was not at fault. Still, here was Durvas Muni unnecessarily getting angry because of his own mistake, coming late first of all, and on top of that getting angry, and on top of that cursing, and cursing also producing a fiery demon to attack. How it's possible? It was so much. Any common person will say, "Arey, what is happening to me? Is this the result of my devotional service? What wrong I have done?" But without any arguing, without any grudge, he was just focusing his mind on the beautiful form of the Lord. And because he was such a great devotee, and he was performing devotional service in such a way, Lord Vishnu had initially, much before that, had blessed him. How? Blessed him with his Sudarshan Chakra. Lord personally gave his Sudarshan Chakra to him, that whenever you will be in distress, this chakra is going to protect you. This is the protection of the Lord. And as soon as this fiery demon was about to attack Ambarish Maharaj, Sudarshan Chakra manifested. And just like the verse says, whenever there is forest fire, snakes, however dangerous, however poisonous they may be, they are immediately caught in that fire and they are completely destroyed. They are turned into ash. So Durvas Muni's, that demon, fiery demon, was like a poisonous, dangerous snake about to devour and destroy Ambarish Maharaj. But the fire of devotional service, which was manifested in the form of Sudarshan Chakra, the fire of devotional service, which is a manifestation of his mercy, of Krishna's mercy, in the form of Sudarshan Chakra, he immediately chased that fiery demon and completely turned him into ash. He was a fire, but that fire was turned into ash. And that was not the end. Because Krishna never tolerates what? When somebody offends his devotees. And therefore, since Sudarshan, being one of the personal associate, even Sudarshan also personal associate of the Lord, having the same mood of the Lord, he cannot also tolerate when somebody offends his devotees. So Sudarshan Chakra ran behind Durvas Muni. Why? Because he had offended such a great Vaishnava devotee as Ambarish Maharaj. And this Sudarshan Chakra, the heat of Sudarshan Chakra, if a fiery demon can completely turn into ash by the heat of Sudarshan Chakra, then what to speak of Durvas Muni? Even all his mystic potencies, with whatever he had, he could not nullify, he could not protect himself from Sudarshan Chakra attacking him. And Sudarshan Chakra was right behind him and he was running here and there. He was running to the mountains, running to the caves, running up, running down, running across, wherever possible, wherever space he felt, he was just running, just to save himself from the Sudarshan Chakra. He ran and ran here and there, and he finally understood that there is no way, no means for my protection. And he went right up, because he was a mystic yogi, he had that potency, that power, that he could travel anywhere. He went right up to Brahmaji. And he's telling, "Lord Brahma, please save me from the Sudarshan Chakra of Vishnu. He's going to kill me completely. I'm already being charred, my body is being burnt because of the heat," because Sudarshan was right behind his neck, just a few inches away. Anytime, cut. And Lord Brahma, when he saw this miserable condition of Durvas Muni, what is telling? "Durvas Muni, please, sorry. I may be Brahma. There are so many great demigods, so many great other rulers. But when the Lord wants, when the Lord finishes his pastimes, and at the end of the yugas, when everything is comes back, is inhaled by the Lord, even we also cannot do anything. We cannot disobey the rules of the Lord. So my dear Brahma, my dear Durvasa Muni, please forgive me. I am in no position to help you. I can't help you. It is beyond my control, beyond my jurisdiction to help you. And then Durvasa Muni runs, thinking that, oh, this Brahmaji is of no use. Let me search here and there. Then he goes to Kailash, where Lord Shiva is there with his consort. And Kailash, and when he goes to Kailash, he's praying to Lord Shiva, that Lord Shiva, please protect me. And Lord Shiva, seeing this state of Durvasa Muni, even he gets, he shows signs of rejection, you know. He expresses his way, his face in such a way that even I can't help. And then he says that the Lord's illusory energy is so expansive that we have no control over it. All of us, even myself also, is sometimes bewildered by the illusory energy. And what to speak of Sudarshan Chakra? I cannot stop it. I cannot save you from that. And then Durvasa Muni, being scorched by the heat of Sudarshan Chakra, he followed the advice of Lord Shiva. The Lord Shiva, when he said that, no, I can't help you, he didn't say just kick him off. He said, I can't help you, but only one person can help you. Who is he? The possessor of Sudarshan Chakra. You go to Vishnu. He will help you. Only he is the only person who can help you, because he is the bestower of good fortune on everyone. And then Lord, and then Durvasa Muni runs to Vaikuntha Loka. Runs there. Protection, because Sudarshan was right behind him. His body was being scorched by that. And then he starts completely trembling, exhausted, because he had not eaten also. He was angry, not eaten also. So he was trembling, became weak, and he was running. And then he finally approached Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Lok, and then he is offering his prayers. He says, O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please give me protection. So in the meanwhile, when the process of running was going on, what was going on simultaneously in his mind? A realization, an understanding of the cause of his suffering. What had made his life so miserable? That was Vaishnava Aparadha. I had offended your devotee. And because of that, I am suffering now. Such a miserable situation, such a dangerous situation has come upon me. And he has realized it. And before the Lord, he is expressing it, that I have offended your devotee. I am a great offender. So my dear Lord, please protect me. And one very important point to be noted here is, when Durvasa Muni sent that fiery demon to attack Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj was just standing there. He didn't run away anywhere. He didn't pray for protection to the Lord. Whereas Durvasa Muni, just when Sudarshan came behind, what is he doing? He is running here and there throughout the creation, throughout the universe. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Devotee, he knows that whatever happens in my life, rather than trying to solve those problems, let me just focus my mind. He has a clear-cut understanding that if I pray to Krishna to make me free from this miserable condition of life, he might, he will. He has full faith in that. But at the same time, he knows that because I am in this material world, and the nature of this material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, at no point can I completely become free from this influence of three modes of material nature. There is no point and no stage in our life that we can become free from problems coming one after the other. So why to waste our time in just presenting or crying before the Lord for protection? This problem will go away. The Lord will take care of that. But after some time, again, another problem will come. And again, I have to run before the Lord for his protection. So rather than wasting my time and energy for just running for protection, let me utilize that same energy, that same time to remember the Lord. Because problems are going to come, definitely, surely, without any fail, without any doubt. But if I remember Lord in any moment, not just in miserable situations, in any moment, then that remembrance can take me or make me transcend this material world, can elevate me to the spiritual world, to Vaikuntha Lok, where I'll be completely become free from all miseries forever. That is a devotee's understanding. And therefore, he did not even budge an inch from that spot. He was ready to be killed. Let me die remembering Krishna, rather than crying for Krishna and asking for protection. That is devotee's consciousness. Marobi rakobi jai chatovar, nitya dasa prati tu adhikar. My dear Lord, whatever you want. If you want to keep me alive, keep me alive. If you want to kill me, kill me. But just maintain me. Make me your servant. Because you have full right on me. You have full right on your servant. Nitya dasa prati tu adhikar. Whatever you want, do it. And that same prayer, that same mood is of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Aslishya va padratam pinastumam adarshana marmahatam karutva yata tata vavidhatu lampato mat prananatastu saivanapara. My dear Lord, if you want to embrace me with love, you can embrace me. If you want to kick me away, you can kick me. I'm not concerned with that. But my only concern is somehow or the other, keep me engaged in your loving devotional service. And whatever you may do with me, you will still remain my dear Lord, my sweet Lord, unconditionally. That is a devotee's consciousness. Where a person who is not devotee, he will run here and there to protect him. But ultimately, what does he get? Nothing. Waste of time, waste of energy, and what comes in hand is nil. Nobody can help him except Krishna. And finally, he has to take shelter of Krishna. So why to run here and there when the problems come? Why not just come before Krishna? Because he is the only person who can help us. And this is manifest. Ultimately, Durvasa Muni ran here and there. Everybody raised their hand and said, we can't, please, sorry. Next door. And then he came to the door of Vaikuntha Lok. But the good thing is, in that process of running here and there, he got that realization. Many times, many people do blunders and they come to ask forgiveness. Or when they ask for protection, but when somebody tells them, this is your mistake. No, I have not done it. This is not my mistake. That is the worst. That at least Durvasa Muni has that realization that I have offended your devotee. I am a great offender. So please save me. And when Durvasa Muni presented this quality of his, that seeking shelter completely, please help me. Then the Lord reveals his heart to Durvasa Muni. And that is the subject matter for today. That is what we'll discuss. There are a series of nice prayers which the Lord personally speaking to Durvasa Muni. So the Lord is speaking, and before that, Durvasa Muni is again offering his prayers that, my dear Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, without having that knowledge, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly, please save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your Lordship. A person who is fit to go to hell, Durvasa Muni is praying, if you are merciful, then you can awaken or you can deliver him from that miserable condition. You can make him free from the reaction of going to hell. And this is what is our hope. This is what is our hope. All of us, if you see our lifestyle, were on the path towards hell. But only when the Lord, through his pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, when they interfere in our life, and when their representatives interfere in life, what do? They divert our track completely. They deliver us from even going to hell. when we follow their instructions, when we just try to execute whatever they say, our path towards hell is completely directed. From complete down, bottom to hell, we are elevated, we are raised to the Vaikunthas, Vaikuntha Lok, and ultimately to the ultimate abode of Vaikuntha Lok, that is Golok Vrindavan Dham. That is the mercy of the Lord. And then, knowing this condition of Durvasa Muni, Lord starts speaking to him. And I'll just read the verse also and the translation, and then whatever we can understand from it. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Lord starts speaking. Aham bhakto paradino hi asvatantra ivadvija sadhubir grasta ridayo bhakter bhakta janapriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, that is Durvasa Muni, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee, even he is also very much dear to me. This is the first step which the Lord is expressing. That I am completely controlled by my devotees. I am sitting in the heart of my devotees. That dear is a devotee to me. And what to speak of devotee is telling, even the devotee of my devotee is as dear to me as my dear devotee. And therefore, Prabhupada very beautifully writes in the purport that because a devotee is completely engaged in spiritual activities, in serving Krishna, being free from material desires, Krishna, and since the devotee is always planning, always thinking that how can I serve Krishna best? Krishna also thinks in the same way. That my dear devotee, if you want to serve me so nicely, then let me also serve you. And the Lord becomes very much or extremely favorable to the devotees. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Chhariya Vaishnav Seva Nistara Paiyach Keva. Giving up the association of devotees, what does can one achieve? And then Prabhupada goes on explaining that everyone, our qualification is not, or our state is not that we can approach Krishna directly. Our only hope is that some or the other we can approach or take shelter of the devotees of Krishna, of those pure devotees, not even Krishna also. Pure devotees of Krishna, or even the devotees of those devotees, of those pure devotees. And Prabhupada writes, that is the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is praying that let me become Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das, Dasanudas. Let me become the servant of the servant of the servant of the maintainer of gopis. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor. And when we serve, when we follow the instructions of such a pure devotee, or dovetail our life according to the words or instructions or the pleasure of such devotees, those who are completely surrendered, what happens? We also achieve the same perfection as those devotees are experiencing or those devotees are achieving. Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, Yasya prasadat bhagvat prasado, yasya aprasadat nagati kutopi. So some or the other, if you can just take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, then our connection with Krishna is guaranteed. Then the Lord goes on to speak, continuing, Naham atmanam asase madbhakta sadhu birvina shriyam chaityanikam brahmam yesham gatir aham para. He's telling, O best of the brahmanas, without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Lord is not ready to enjoy without his devotees. Lord is Bhoktaram. Bhoktaram Yakatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. And he's Atmaram. He's self-satisfied. At the same time, he's Rasraj. He's the reservoir of all pleasure. He's a supreme enjoyer. And he's telling that I cannot enjoy without my devotees. Without my devotees, I am incomplete. That I do not enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. without devotees. So Prabhupada very beautifully writes in this purport that Krishna, you'll see Krishna, he's always with someone. Krishna is running here and there. Krishna is playing with his coward friends. Krishna is with Braj Gopis. Krishna is dealing with his parents. In all the rasas, whichever is possible, Krishna has someone to exchange his love, to reciprocate with. You'll never see Krishna alone. If you see Krishna alone, then he is not Krishna. Because Krishna is not a person who can be alone. He cannot be alone. He wants his devotees because he's saying, I cannot enjoy. And Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So how can he enjoy with his devotees, without his devotees? So Prabhupada writes that he wants the cooperation of his devotees like the coward boys and the gopis to increase his transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to him. Devotees, those who give pleasure to Krishna, are most dear to him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of devotees, but because he is unlimited, therefore he wants to increase his devotees also unlimitedly. For a person who can eat only two chapatis, if you serve him two chapatis, he will be happy. But if Kumbhakaran comes and you serve him two chapatis, what will be your condition or what will he feel? For him, those two chapatis don't exist also. If you serve him the entire food from all over Bombay, then also it's nothing. It didn't even enter my trachea and my neck. What to speak of my stomach? So, similarly, Lord is unlimited. And he wants unlimited associates to enjoy. Not just he will be happy with one associate. He is relishing, he is experiencing so many rasas with so many different types of devotees. Since the Lord is unlimited, his pleasure potency is also unlimited and his ways to enjoy is also unlimited. Therefore, what is the concern of the Lord? That he wants more and more devotees for his enjoyment. If he has more enjoyment, then I will enjoy more. That is Krishna's mood. And Prabhupada writes very nicely that he descends into the material world to enjoy the to induce the non-devotees and the rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto him because unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. And Prabhupada adding to it, he says, the Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees more and more. Why? Because more the number of pure devotees, more pleasure will be available for Krishna. And that is the mood of every devotee. That how can I give pleasure to Krishna? And that is the mood of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And with that mood only, to give pleasure to every living entity, or to give pleasure to Krishna, Prabhupada traveled throughout the universe. He planted the, not throughout the universe, through the earth, entire planet earth, going to each and every country. Indirectly, we may not know that he might be traveling other universes also. As far as our knowledge is concerned, we just see him traveled throughout the earth. Why? To create more and more pure devotees. Why? Because more the number of pure devotees, more pleasure Krishna will have. And that is devotee's pleasure. Seeing Krishna enjoying. Not that I enjoy and Krishna suffer. Let me suffer and let Krishna enjoy. That is the mood of a devotee. And then the Lord says, Yedaragara putrapta pranam vittam imam param hitva mam sharanam yatha katam tam stektum utsahe. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? The Lord is saying, these devotees, my pure devotees, they are giving up everything for me. Everything. They are giving up their wives, their house, their children, their relatives, their riches. and even of their lives also, completely dedicating to me. So if a person is so much surrendered to me, how can I give them up? So therefore, the Lord does not give up his devotees at any moment of time. So there should be no element of doubt in any devotee's heart that I am surrendered to Krishna, I am serving Krishna. Is Krishna going to take care of me when I am in a miserable situation or in an awkward situation, when I need him the most? There should be no element of doubt, because Krishna is going to definitely protect his devotees. This is his words. It's not that somebody else is speaking. He himself is speaking that how can I? He's asking us, how can I give? He's asking Durvasa Muni that how can I give up? And when people say, you know, when you are surrendered to Krishna, when you become completely dedicated, you're doing, you know, this is not a good activity. Who will take care of your parents? Who will take care of relatives? Krishna is going to take care. Krishna is going to take care of the devotees and whoever is related to devotees. And here, which we see that without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, it is not that we are becoming devotees to improve our material conditions. That let me become devotee, so I will get everything whatever I want. I can get a nice job, I can get a nice house, I can get a nice wife, I can have nice children. Everything, my whole material life will be set. Why? Because Krishna is the source of all opulences. He can give everything. He is served by millions and millions of Lakshmis. So I will have everything. No. That is not the devotee. And nobody should approach Krishna with this mood. Krishna is not a person to be approached with this mood. Krishna is not a person to be approached for material benedictions. Because Krishna is not going to give it. Krishna is going to give it only if you need it. If it is best for your spiritual advancement, then he will give it. If it is not, if it is going to cause impediment in your spiritual life, then he will not give it. That is Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport that sometimes, as our condition is, sometimes what happens, we are practicing devotional service. We are attached to Krishna, but at the same time, our attachment is there, to our family, to our wives, our children, our job, so many attachments. But Krishna is a person who demands 100%. He says, if you want to love me, then you should love me 100%. But we say, Krishna, I can love you 50% and 50% to my family. That does not work. Krishna says, if you want me, then you have to love me 100%. But Prabhupada writes in this purport that sometimes devotees may have an habit or attraction for wife, children, and home, but at the same time, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the best of his ability. That is our condition. Everybody's. We want to serve the Lord. But at the same time, what happens? Our attachment is also there. We can't give that thing up. So Prabhupada expressing, actually, he's expressing his own heart and his own state. Very few times in Bhagavatam, here and there in the purports, where Prabhupada actually reveals about himself. And he says, for such a devotee, for a devotee who is attached to his family, his all his possessions, and also at the same time wants to serve Krishna to the best of his ability, Prabhupada writes, for such a devotee, Lord makes a special arrangement to take away the objects of his false attachment. Krishna makes arrangement to take away the objects of his false attachment and thus free him from the attachment of wife, home, children, friends, and so on. This is a special mercy bestowed upon the devotee to bring him home back to Godhead. This is Krishna's special mercy. He will take away all the attachments gradually. And this is what happened with Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted to serve Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta gave him the order in 1992 for the first time when he met that you have to preach. And he was serving to the best of his capacity. He was a grihastha, he had his family. But at the same time, he was having so many obligations. Family obligations, occupational obligations, here and there. And all these things were, you know, causing an impediment. He wanted to serve Krishna completely, best of his ability. But then, Krishna saw his desire. Krishna is there in the heart. And what did Krishna do? Gradually everything went away. His whole business failed. Wife said, better to have tea rather than you. When Prabhupada asked tea or me, he said, tea is much better. So immediately he left. He left, and when he left, took vanpras, then later sannyas, to travel the entire world, to change the face of the entire world, to give Krishna to everyone, to create more and more pure devotees for the pleasure of Krishna. This is Krishna's mercy. And when Krishna bestows his mercy on one person, it is not that only one person receives his mercy. Because Krishna bestowed mercy on Srila Prabhupada, and that same mercy, pure devotee distributes it everywhere. But only thing that remains for us is to become a receptacle of that mercy. And when we become receptacle to that mercy by associating with such a pure devotee and their representatives, we also become dear to Krishna. So dear that Krishna cannot live without us. Krishna cannot enjoy without us. And then he goes on to say that Mai nirbhadda hridaya sadhava samadarshana vasi kurvanti mam bhaktya satsriya satpatim yatha. The Lord is giving some analogy now, example. How does a pure devotee serve him? He says, as a chaste woman bring their gentle husbands under control by service, as a chaste woman, this is a secret which the Lord is giving. If they want to control their husbands, then how they can do it? As a chaste woman can bring their gentle husband under control by service, by serving them. If somebody wants to control someone, then it's only through service. And service of submissiveness, not service of bossing. So I'm serving my husband. How? I'm bossing over him. That is not the way. I'm the home minister and he's my assistant. Not like that. Just serving. So as a chaste woman bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart bring me under their full control. So Krishna, Lord is telling that how they can make me the Lord of the entire universe, the entire creation, the Lord of the Vaikuntha Lok, Vaikuntha Pati, the possessor of all opulences. How can they make me under their control? Just by devotional service. Just by serving me, I become completely, theirs. So therefore Maharaj many times says that you just have to stand before Krishna. And what do you have to say? Krishna, I am yours. Krishna, I am yours. If it is the core of the heart, if you can seriously, intensely, just stand before Gopinath and say that Krishna, I am yours, please accept me. Then Krishna is going to accept, definitely. And then Lord goes on to tell that Matasevaya Pratitam te salokhyadi chatustayam nechanti sevaya purana kuto anyat kalaviplatum. And the devotees, they are so much dedicated to serve me that even if I want to give them liberation, all the different types of liberation, salokya, sarujya, sarupya, all that different types, they are not ready for that. We don't want liberation. My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, salokya, sarupya, samipya and sastri. Although these are automatically achieved by their service, what then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? They don't want anything. Why? Because they are busy serving Krishna. Their service itself is their happiness. They don't want anything else. Even if the Lord wants to give, say, no, we don't want anything. You see in the Shatprahar Leela, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving benediction to all the devotees at the house of Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, Lord was ready to give all benedictions, whatever you desire. He was calling each and every devotee, ask for what you want. You want heavenly planets, you want to become the Indra, you want to become this, you want to become that. No, nothing. Not even a single devotee was ready for any material benediction. Only thing they were praying is, let me have the association of devotees and let me be constantly engaged in your devotional service. Birth after birth. This was the only prayer of all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one is praying for any material benediction. Similarly, Lord is telling my devotees, they are always satisfied in engaging in my devotional service. And then he makes the best of the verses. Sadavo hridayam mayam sadunam hridayam tvaham mad anyatena janati naham tebhyo manak api. The pure devotees is always within the core of my heart. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the core of my pure devotees. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. I am always in their heart, the heart of my devotees, right? And devotees always have me in their heart. Devotees know no one except me, and I also know no one except my devotees. This is the Lord speaking. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport that the devotee, being always situated in the core of Lord's heart, surely gets all instructions directly from the Lord. And actually, I was just analyzing on this verse that what is the meaning when the Lord says that devotees are in my heart, always in my heart. So why I should speak this to Durvasa Muni? I was just thinking over it. And this just thought came, it may be speculation also. And which Prabhupada writes in the purport also, actually it is in cooperation with Prabhupada writing. When Lord says that the devotees are always in my heart, and when Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj, a pure devotee, what is he doing? He is causing harm to Lord's heart. By affecting the devotee, he is affecting the Lord's heart also. And if somebody affects Lord's heart, how can you expect Lord to be happy? So indirectly, Lord was telling actually, you have caused pain to my heart because you have caused pain to my pure devotee. So there is no point also coming to me. He's actually directing him towards a person whom he had offended. That you can go and beg forgiveness from him. Only he can protect you. He has more power because I am completely controlled by my devotees. I cannot go beyond their desire. So please go beg forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. Only if he desires, then your offense will be forgiven and then you can become free. And then he says, Upayam kata yishyami tava vipra shinusvatat ayam hi atma vischaste yatastam yahin machiram sadhusu prihatam teja prahatu kurate shivam. O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. After explaining what the Lord feels, what feeling the Lord has for his devotees, the Lord now is giving him the final advice. What is that? Let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One's so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. A very beautiful statement. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One's so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. That is, thus, it is the subject, not the object who is harmed. So last week, when Maharaj was speaking on Hanuman, the pastimes of Hanuman, Maharaj made a very, very important statement. When Hanuman, he went to Lanka and destroyed the entire Lanka. He killed all his army, all those who were trying to catch him. And then finally, he was, you know, by his sweet will, he allowed himself to be caught by Ravana. And when Ravana caught him, what was the punishment which Ravana gave? Ravana wanted to destroy Hanumanji. How? By lighting his tail on fire. And Maharaj was telling that fire was a fire of Vaishnaprad. Because he wanted to destroy a devotee, That same thought, that same act, what did Hanuman do with that fire? Even though his tail was burning, externally, apparently it was never burnt, that same fire completely burnt away Lanka. Whole Lanka was turned into ash. The same fire which he himself had lighted. And therefore, Prabhupada, Lord is telling, one so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who has employed it. Ravana wanted to burn Hanuman's tail, but what was the result? That same fire burned the Lanka. This is an example of that. Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu wanted to destroy Prahlad, but what happened? His same anger, his same envy towards Prahlad manifested in the form of envy towards Krishna, and that same Krishna came and destroyed him in the form of Sri Narasimhadev. So the lesson is, one cannot be envious. One cannot harm a pure devotee or any devotee, not just pure devotees. Any person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when he was asked, who is your devotee? Mahaprabhu said that, whoever even chants once my holy name is my devotee. So practically everyone in India, they chant the name of Krishna. In that way, everybody is a devotee. So how careful you must be in dealing with general people and especially with devotees. So careful. Because it is not that the devotee is getting offended. Because the devotee is sitting in the heart of Lord, the Lord's heart is getting offended, and when the Lord's heart gets offended, he gets offended and he gets disturbed. So the connection is directly, you know, direct dilse, that is the connection. Completely sida. And when the Lord gets offended, then what remains? There is only destruction. And then the Lord advises him that go to Ambarish Maharaj, only he can save. And then, receiving this advice from Lord Vishnu himself personally, Ambarish Maharaj runs, Durvasamuni runs to Ambarish Maharaj and falls at his feet, begging forgiveness. And mind you, Sudarshan is still there. Sudarshan has not left. He's still chasing him. And then Ambarish Maharaj offers series of prayers to Sudarshan, glorifying Sudarshan, and then pacifies, requests Sudarshan that please do not harm him. This is a quality of a devotee. Even though he was harmed to the extent that he was tried to be killed, but he didn't take any offense. He just said, forgive him. You didn't commit offense. And after that, on top of that, actually Ambarish Maharaj, you have ran here and there, you must be hungry, let's have prasad. Because meanwhile, he also had not eaten. Still, Ambarish Maharaj maintained his vow that I cannot eat without my guest. That is Ambarish Maharaj. And after that, both of them sat together and ate prasad. But the important point is, the Lord's, as we began our lecture with, the Lord's feeling for his devotees. The Lord's concern for his devotees. What does the Lord have for his devotees? It is not that the Lord, you know, only those pure devotees or only some, if he likes, then he will reciprocate with them. If he does not like, he will not reciprocate. No. The Lord at every moment is concerned. The Lord's existence cannot be without his devotees. So devotee should not be at any doubt that is the Lord going to protect me? Is the Lord going to take care of me? But one thing may come to our mind that can we understand Lord's reciprocation only when he saves us from miserable situations? When some problem comes in our life? When some awkward situation comes in life and we will become free from it, just like Ambarish Maharaj became free or Durvasamuni became free, then only that is Lord's mercy. Normal, that is our conception. No. Lord may reciprocate with us by making us free from that problems, or Lord may reciprocate with us by putting us in problems. Either way the Lord may act. So the devotee should not feel that only if everything is positive happening with me, then, oh, Lord is great. Lord is very merciful. Normally we see, you know, when somebody passes in the exam or something happens, Hare Gopinath ka bahut mercy ho gaya aaj. Pass ho gaya exam. Examiner bahut achha tha, copy karne diya. Very merciful. And when you are caught in the exam, and when the question paper is exactly completely opposite to what you thought, shayad Bhagwan ka mercy nahi tha re. Uske life mein pura ulta palta ho gaya. Is this our attitude? This is a neophyte mentality. This is what a beginner thinks. But as we progress, a devotee's consciousness should be that whatever may happen, happiness or distress, everything is Lord's mercy. Happiness understood. Now for a devotee, what is the miserable situation? Most dangerous situation is when we are attacked by Maya. For us, to give up external things is not a big thing. To become detached from all these things. But when we are trying to strictly follow our regulative principles, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, trying to control our mind and going more and more subtly. Initially, we begin with gross principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. These are all gross. But as we advance, then we realize there are so many anarthas in the heart. Lust, envy, greed, pride, illusion, anger. All these things torment us like anything. When we see other devotees, we get envy. When we see outside, what to speak of devotees, even outside also. We start finding fault in devotees. We blaspheme devotees. We criticize devotees. When we are put in such miserable situation, how does a devotee see to it? How does a devotee see to it? And what is response of a devotee when he is put in such miserable situation? If a devotee is properly placed in his consciousness, if a devotee has proper understanding that whether things may go good with us or things may go bad with us, ultimately, in either situation, the only thing I have to do is loudly chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when devotees, when we are tormented by all these anarthas, rather than succumbing to these anarthas, what a devotee does? He comes and prays before Gopinath, before Krishna. That, my dear Lord, please, I don't want to be envious of other devotees. I don't want to criticize other devotees. I don't want to find fault with other devotees. I don't want to offend other devotees. Please, Krishna, please help me. When a devotee comes to this consciousness, to this level, that when he's put in miserable situation, he comes before Krishna and cries for help, cries to be relieved from all these miserable situations, then that is actual mercy. That is actual mercy of Krishna. By putting the devotee in such a miserable situation, by making him find faults, what is Krishna doing? Krishna is exposing his anarthas. Because unless and all the anarthas are there in our heart, nobody is free. Sometimes it happens. We were much better before becoming devotees. After becoming devotees, initially when we come, everyone is, we respect all devotees. Everybody looks a pure devotee to us. But as we progress, as we start associating, as the familiarity beats contempt, what happens? We start finding fault with devotees. We start criticizing devotees. What is happening? All bad thoughts are coming in our mind. We say, "Arey, bhakti kar, chanting kar, aur problem lag gaya. I didn't knew I was so bad. So many lusty desires are coming. So many anarthas are there." So what is Krishna doing? By putting us in that miserable situation, he is exposing our anarthas. And unless and until he exposes our anarthas, if we are serious, then we are not going to come before Krishna and cry before Krishna that, please relieve me of this anartha. And unless and until you pray to get relieved of your disease, Krishna is not going to leave it. Because Krishna says, Sarva dharman paritajya mamekam sharanam braja. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishaya masucha. You have to give up all varieties of religion and then surrender unto me. And when you surrender, then I will free you from all sinful reactions in this condition. So unless and until Krishna puts us in that miserable situation, unless and until Krishna exposes ourselves, then we realize that what I am. I was thinking I was a very pure devotee. I am advancing. But it's completely opposite. I am more lusty. I am more envious. I am more, hating other devotees. I am so illusioned. And what happens when you sincerely, if you are sincere enough, then you get these feelings. And in that, when you have these feelings, when you are, you know, your anartha is exposed, what do you become? You become humble. All that thoughts, which were just like acting like, you know, air in a balloon, just, you know, get pushing and pushing and you get puffed up, big balloon. But what is Krishna's mercy? He puts a pin. That entire balloon gets blasted. And then you become nothing except a simple rubber tissue. You see balloon, when they blasted, a simple rubber. Before it has a nice shape, with a nice mouth and nice, you know, like a brinjal. But after that, it becomes a simple piece of rubber. Then you realize what you actually are. That is Krishna's mercy. Unless and until you get humbled, you cannot understand Krishna. You cannot think others as great. You cannot appreciate Krishna, neither you can appreciate Krishna's devotees. So Krishna puts in that miserable situation, and every sincere devotee, when he is put in that situation, he simply cries for Krishna, being exposed, and that crying humbles him. He becomes humbled. And in that mood, he is able, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi Sunichena, Paroriva Seshnunam, Amani Namani Dena, Kirtaniya Siddhahari. Only then, with a humble state of heart and mind, being more tolerant than tree, without giving all respect to others and without expecting none in return, then only one can purely chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Only when chanted with this mood, in this state of mind and heart, that holy name, which is coming out from your lips, from your heart, can cross this entire universe, cross all the barriers and enter into the spiritual world. And then only Krishna can hear it. Reaches Krishna. And then reaches Krishna. Then Krishna, receiving that call, he runs for that devotee to save him, to protect him. And we see when we experience. If you are sincere enough, you just pray. And after some time, when we are relieved of that anartha, the happiness which we experience after that, after being relieved from anartha, that cannot be compared. And then actually we experience Krishna's mercy. That yes, Krishna has made me free from that anartha. That is actual Krishna's mercy. Not just being free from some external problems, external miserable situations. That is not mercy. So whether be killed or whether given life, that is not great. That is not important. What is important is our attraction for Krishna increases. Our taste for holy name increases. Our taste to hear Krishna Katha increases. If that thing is happening, then rest whatever may happen. Whatever may happen in our life, unless and until our service attitude for devotees is increasing, unless and until our appreciation for Krishna and his devotees is increasing, then everything else is of no value. And that is Krishna's real mercy. And Krishna does, as Krishna spoke to Durvas Muni, his concern, his love for his devotees, what he feels for his devotees. And after having this knowledge, no devotee should ever be in any doubt. There should be no element of doubt, because Krishna always loves us. This should be fixed in our heart. Because we are in Krishna's heart, Krishna cannot be without us. We are just meant to serve Krishna. We are objects of pleasure for Krishna. Krishna cannot be happy without us. If that understanding is there, and with that understanding, if you can just serve Krishna and serve his devotees, his representatives, without offending them, then that can achieve us or give us the ultimate perfection of life. And in that state, then whatever you may be in, gradually detachment from this material world will have progress, and attachment for Krishna, his pastimes, his holy name, and most important, his dear devotees will develop in our heart. And that is the only way, only path of going back home, back to Godhead. When we eagerly, sincerely chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. So now let us, because we are meant to give pleasure to Krishna, so let us give pleasure to Krishna by engaging